Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Okay, welcome to another Fireside Chat. This is Alon. We're right in the aftermath of the FA Cup fixtures and results, and therefore in the thick of the blank and double madness. There's no one better to talk to than Praz from the FPL Wire. Praz, buddy, how you doing?
I'm really, really well, and happy that we've got maximum carnage in the FA Cups, and there's only four fixtures happening, and really delighted to be back. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. So this has to be your like favorite-ish time of year for FPL, I would assume.
I mean, it's, you know, I anyway enjoy the period, which is basically before the deadline, right? On what can you do? Because after that, it's just shit and pain, right? So this is the time which I like, and I like long-term planning, and this is now gets your juices flowing. So I love this period.
Yeah, afterwards is just shit and pain. It fits right in with the FMLFL lifestyle. So as you know, I'm on wildcard. And as you just mentioned, every favorite basically won in the FA Cup. And, well, were Wolves favorite over Brighton? I don't know. That was a close one maybe, but all the home teams won at least. And so now there's only four games in Game Week 29. Fulham Spurs, Burnley Brentford, West Ham Villa, Luton Forest. Looks really bad. Looks like a free hit. To me,
very bad.
But I'm wondering what are your initial thoughts?
Look, I mean, I think what has changed from our initial thinking, these were the favorites. And like you said, I think even though Wolves were not favorites, it was expected that that fixture would blank because either Wolves would win or Bournemouth would have won, which they didn't yesterday.
Right.
So our
right.
hopes were higher. But in essence, we were expecting that fixture to be a blank. So carnage. And I think Game Week 29, you can look at it like, you know, you see what you want to see kind of thing, the sixth sense dialogue.
Okay.
Because people whose team is not ready for that will just go, I've got two or three players from Game Week 29. I'm just going to free hit, right? So that's reasonable. And a lot of people might end up doing that. But other people like yourselves who are wildcarding, I would say it's also an opportunity to say everyone else is going to free hit into this really shit week. And there's only going to be like four or five picks. And if I can manage to get 9 or 10 players out, maybe even take a hit and avoid a free hit and then save my free hit for this other double game week that is coming up in game week 34, which we will talk about. And I don't want to go too deep into it because there's a lot of permutations and we don't know everything yet. It could be a play, and it could be a play where you basically let everybody spunk their chips and get 10, 15 points, which is okay. And then you hope to do better later.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, for me, the hard thing to, I mean, there's a lot of, like you said, there's tons of permutations, but there's a lot of different things that require, I think, balance. But it's like, what great benefit do I get from saving my free hit, right? And you mentioned that there's probably going to be a big double in 34. will I or won't I be able to take advantage of that with a free hit or without a free hit? Like, I don't know, right? I don't know how the fixtures will fall. I don't know what my team will be. And I think we don't for sure know what the doubles will be either. So you can't really say for now. And then you mentioned, right, it's a bad game week 29, right? So there, I always have trouble with the thing of balancing. It's like, do I want to bring in aforementioned bad players into my team, actively saying, oh yeah, like it's a bad fixture and I want those players? Or is it more valuable? Because then also I don't have the wild card to get rid of them, right? Which I think a lot of people will probably be wild carding out of their, you know, non-free hit teams. Or do I want to just say, no, I'm just going to get all the players that I want and I want to hold longer than 2-3 game weeks and just free hit in for the bad week?
So, I mean, these are pros and cons to everything, right? So if you're wildcarding now, I think what you need to think about is which of these teams in game week 29 are long-term holds. So I think in terms of all these, so West Ham, I don't think it's a long-term hold. You could argue maybe Brentford, Tony could be a longer-term hold. You could argue maybe a Watkins. But what you need to do if you're not free-hitting in game week 29 is basically load up on Luton players, which I know doesn't sound great. But why Luton? Is because you'll want them for the double in 28. Yeah. Again, not the best double. And you have them for 30. So I think you hit the nail on the head where people who haven't wildcarded would be more tempted to just take a couple of hits, get through 29. Because the other thing is, if you look at 29, you know, Spurs have a fixture. Who do Spurs play on the back of that in game week 30? They play Luton at home. Villa have a fixture. Who do Villa play on the back of that? They play Wolves at home. So there's some nice fixtures coming out of the game week 29 free hit or non-free hit that you can just take advantage of. Another one, you sell Haaland, right? I mean, you basically free hit. If you don't free hit, you sell Haaland for a Tony. Haaland then plays Arsenal game week 30. So you can actually keep your Tony, who has, you know, an okay fixture home to Man United. You know he's going to score home to Man United. So it's just locked those trade-offs that you can think about over game week 29 and 30 that could make sense. But I do agree with you. If you're wildcarding, you don't want these shit players long-term and then end up with a really horrible team in game week 31.
Yeah, that's the problem that I'm having. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, looking even at Fulham, who, like, we would never really consider Fulham players, they're at Sheffield United in 30. Right? Like, so it seems like maybe wildcarding in 30 won't be the move, and it'll be in, maybe in 31 for the teams that don't free hit, right? That looks feasible. I'm just worried that I'm going to be staring down the barrel of the team of, like, you know, Bowen, Ollie, Tony, all bad defenders and bad midfielders, because none of these teams have either of those. And I'm going to be, I might have a good 28, 29, 30, but then in 31, I'm just like, okay, I'm, you know, 8 players away from where I want to be. I just don't think it's possible to make a team that's not going to be absolutely horrible by the time game week 31 rolls around.
See, the other side of this is, so, okay, you're saying I don't want to sacrifice my team for this. So I guess my question, then I'm going to turn the question and say, which week are you willing to sacrifice a little bit? So let's discuss game week 34 a little bit. Now, this is early days, right? I mean, we haven't got the fixture gods with their predictions, but
you're the fixture god. That's why you're here.
I just plan with the ingredients that are given to me.
Okay.
There are people who actually cook the ingredients, and I'm not one of those. So, you know, James from Planet FPL and Ben Krellin and Talon Beam, and these are the guys. So by tomorrow or on Thursday, you know, we should have basically a landscape of what we think 34 looks like and 37 looks like. But in a nutshell, what the FA Cup quarterfinal rounds draw has done is basically made it fairly obvious who these teams are going to be, who will reach the semifinal. Because Man City avoided Liverpool, Chelsea. And so therefore, you just think that Man City should win against Newcastle. So that's one. Then you think Chelsea should beat Leicester at home. Again, Chelsea can do anything. Chelsea can be Chelsea. But these are more predictable than it would have been if Chelsea played Man United, for example, right? Or Man City played Liverpool. So you'd expect Chelsea to go through. You'd expect Man City to go through. Wolves versus Coventry is actually a really interesting one, because now Wolves is, you think, likely to get into the semi-final. Man United, Liverpool, there's two fans here on this, and I don't think neither of us disagree that Liverpool are going to beat Man United. So that's like four predictable games that happen or that teams that will now blank in game week 34.
It's now, interesting because usually it's not really like this. You know, like usually there's three games where like either team could win. But yeah, I mean, pretty much every team got one of the better draws. I mean, Man United Liverpool, I guess, usually is a closer contest, but no one expects that to be really that competitive. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I then take that forward and I say, how does game week 34 look like? Game week 34, there is a scenario in which game week 34 means Spurs blank. Because Spurs were meant to play Man City then, and Man City will make the semifinal. So that game doesn't happen.
Jeez.
It could be that, you know, the teams that actually double are the bad teams. So Man United could have a double with Newcastle at home and Sheffield United at home. You could have Newcastle with a double, which could be basically, you know, Man United away and their fixture in game week 29. I forget which one that was. Crystal Palace away.
Palace.
So you could have, and the you could have a Palace double. You could, I talked about Sheffield United, Man United, Newcastle. So these are bad teams.
I'm starting to see the free hit in my mind of like.
Exactly. And you know, the problem with the game week 25 free hit was all the single game weekers smashed it, right? The Arsenals, the Villas. In this particular week in game week 34, the single game week teams are actually bad because Arsenal would likely play Chelsea because that's their fixture that's moved from 29. Man City would be away to Brighton. So again, their fixture from 29. So those are not fixtures where you're afraid of, you know, you could go without Arsenal defense against Chelsea, maybe. Of course, you can be hurt.
Yeah,
but these are fixtures that you can actually attack and say, I can get the doublers, triple Man United, which you would never, ever want. You could get, again, Trippier, who you don't want to touch at the moment, and things like that. So I'm just trying to make a case for 34 could be a week where bad teams double, good teams have a bad fixture. So it's a nice ingredient for a free hit as well.
Mm. Oh, man. You're making me regret wildcarding already. I'm just like, damn, I want multiple free hits. 29. I mean, so what are you seeing with the 29 games? I'm just curious, like I don't really know what your team is. A better podcast host would have pulled that up already. But I'm looking at these teams and like obvious, I think Spurs are sort of a separate conversation. I mean,
yeah.
Whether you want or don't want a defender, I don't want them, but anyone who has them, I totally understand. You just hold and it's fine. One or two mids, like for sure, right? Every non-free hit team nailed on. Villa, Everyone's going to have Ollie. Everyone might have a defender. I mean, there's some Moreno owners, you know, who knows? I don't know if Moreno will even have his spot by then. You know, I'm sure people are bringing in Bowen after the hat trick. Like you mentioned Tony. I mean, maybe it's a Haaland to Tony because I think having Tony over Ollie or Dom, it looks really sketchy right now.
Yeah.
And then there's like, I'm not seeing much else. Like I struggle to see a pick on Forrest. I mean, Burnley, forget about it. But, you know, Fulham, there's not much. I mean, maybe a Brentford defender. Luton, like you mentioned, the double. It's like makes them from really bad to pretty bad, but it doesn't make them good. You know, so like, I'm wondering what is the team that isn't going to free hit that they're happy with?
So I can talk about my team. So I've got triple Villa already.
Okay.
I've got, bad Villa defenders, Konza and Pau Torres, who are both injured, but now back in training. So
I was hoping you were a Doug Luiz guy. I was like, Praz is smart. Praz has all the points.
Honestly, I went twang and I'm ashamed of myself. I was basically of the camp that there's going to be one upset, so I shouldn't worry. And obviously tonight, Wang is also injured. Yeah. So that's another piece of news. I've got three Villa.
Okay.
And I've got Areola as my goalkeeper.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I've got Richarlison. So the idea would be between now and game week 29, I would add both Madison and Son. So that would give me my triple Spurs. And I would add maybe two Luton players. So that could be Doughty. It could be a striker or it could be Morris. Doughty and even in a Ross Barkley. I mean, anyone. Yeah. anyone who moves, because they would have a double in 28 and then they would play in 29. And the idea would be that I have these triple Villa, triple Spurs in those good, easy fixtures against game week 30. And then I basically wildcard out for it in game week 31. That's at least a tentative plan. And if I think I have 9 or 10 good players and I've covered the bases, because I think you've set the main thing, which is there is no goalkeeper or defender you want out of here. Yeah. Who do you think keeps a clean sheet here? Apart from maybe Brentford?
I don't see a clean sheet. But their defense has been awful lately. Yeah. There's really not much there, yeah.
Like Fulham score against Spurs. West Ham score against Villa.
Yeah.
Luton, Nottingham Forest, no idea what the scoreline is, but it's not going to be...
Could be 3-2 either way. Could exactly. be anything. Yeah. Yeah, there's no banker clean at all. Yeah, man. I'm struggling. I'm now like talking it out like this, and maybe I should have had you on before I ripped my wild card, but I didn't know where I was going to be at that moment in time. But it does feel to me like this is the best plan. I think if listeners have a team similar to yours, like between 4 and 6 non-blankers, which I think is pretty realistic, right? There's a lot of highly owned guys in there. Charlie Taylor, people have like random other guys, I'm sure, are owned.
Reguilon or someone, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's just kind of wishing on my wild card that there were some more upsets. So I could have gone like really hard on, say Liverpool lost today or something like that. Like I could have gone triple Liverpool. No one has any of them. You know, I get them in the blank and I don't have to deal with the free hit. But now I'm kind of in a pickle where it's like, yeah, I basically, like you said, I have to choose between 29 and 34, maybe. Right. Yeah, because that's a tough one. That's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, speaking of positives, so I know in the main pod you were discussing bench boost. So yeah. I think one good thing coming out of tonight is the fact that game week 37 is just a week where all good teams are going to double. Man City are going to double. Oh, Arsenal are going to double. Spurs are going to double. Chelsea is going to double. Which are the good teams? Liverpool are going to double.
Liverpool, yeah. If they win, right? You're basically saying, assuming they win their FA Cup fixture. Correct.
So if that happens, then basically what you can say is, today I'm not going to worry about, dancing around bad teams. I'm going to pick good players. And I'm going to pick good players and have a good bench. And I'll navigate this period. And I'll be ready to bench boost. Hopefully these players stay fit because no one can call an injury. But I think that's just a very good week to bench boost. You have your, nice Arsenal defenders. You have your Liverpool guys. You will not be able to afford everyone. Obviously, you can't have a Trent, Son, Salah, Haaland kind of Saka draft.
Yeah.
But you'll get there with some sacrifices. And I think the bench boost is just so appealing. Because one of the things of Game Week 28 bench boost that you were considering, I don't, again, see good clean sheets. And so who would you sort of bet? Because let's assume you'll play the doublers. How would your Game Week 28 bench boost even look like? I mean, would you have a Porro or a Pau Torres who play each other? That's not a good bench. So who's actually on the bench?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You're assuming like I would play Doughty, right? So then my bench defender would be like, I'm just making it up, but I don't know, Gusto home Newcastle, or you don't want Branthwaite away Man United. I mean, Palace home, right? You'd have Richards, Palace home Luton. I think you could find some decent fixtures there. You'd have a doubling keeper, maybe another doubler on the bench. Maybe you wouldn't start all of them. I think it's viable, and it's basically between triple cap and bench boost. When do I want to use which? One of them sounds like it's going to be in 37. One of them sounds like it's going to be in 28. And I totally understand Walsh's case for Dom, who may also be hurt now. So that might just ruin everything right out the gates. But I think the case also for bench boost, I mean, it's similar to what Walsh was saying about triple cap, is like we know everyone that's fit and we know the doubles right now. So I can get all of them right now. We're 1 week away, unlikely to get hurt or suspended, and then I just have a bench boost, right? Versus 37, I mean, it sounds good that like 5 out of the top 7 teams or something like that are all going to be doubling, but the league might be done.
Yeah.
They might be resting for Champions League semifinals, finals, whatever, Europa League, semifinals, finals, whatever, however the dates line up, you know, that's also a factor. You know, I might be planning a bench boost by then. And then it's like, well, you know, City or Liverpool are 6 points ahead of Arsenal in the league, and they have a second leg of the Champions League semifinal coming up, and they're just going to rest everyone. Just like, yeah. I'm bench boosting in like Reece Nelson, you know, Holding. I don't even know if Holding's still there, but there's just a lot of unknowns is what I'm trying to say. Whereas what you were saying about the good teams all doubling 37, and that sounds like the easiest triple cap of my life, right? Whichever team is playing the best and has the most on the line and has the best fixtures between Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Spurs even, that's my triple cap and I feel incredible about it. You're kind of pushing me that way a little bit.
It's all relative. So I think you need to compare triple cap Fit Solanke versus triple cap Salah or Haaland.
Yeah.
And also on the left side of the equation have bench boost 37 versus bench boost 28. And I just think no matter where the league is, it's not like Gabriel and Saliba will not play either game or, you know, if you're bench boosting with single game weekers plus a double game week keeper, then it's four fixtures or five fixtures that you're getting from your bench. I'd argue that if you're able to navigate towards it, and you know, there could be a scenario that it's still a three horse race.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it could be fine. So I think there's pros and cons to it. There's no right answer. But I just wanted to make a case that good teams will double. So that's something you could keep in your mind. You know, if Arsenal are out of it, then Saka can become Madison, and things can, you know, you can navigate towards certain things in leading into 37.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then also the other factor with my wild card that Walsh and I barely touched on is just that there's going to be leaks from like six games this week because there's no early game. It's correct. Just the 3 p.m. So, you know, that'll also factor into my wild card probably, right? Like I need Liverpool news. I need, like, is Mo starting? Is Mo on the bench? Is Rabo starting? Is Rabo on the bench? You know, whatever. If I want to go Liverpool route into a free hit in 29. I mean, Villa, you know, is Pau hurt? And which fullbacks are starting? Is Bailey starting? You know, there's probably more. I mean, Spurs, like, is Richarlison starting at striker? Is Son starting at striker? Like, there's going to be a lot of action that'll also factor in the morning of the deadline for me, and also playing in like, I need to make basically a flow chart of like, if this guy's leaked, I'm holding my free hit. If this guy has leaked, you know, oh God.
I mean, I remember free hitting. You remember the season where it was David Silva's final game and there were a lot of free hit chips deployed?
Oh, yeah.
And it was also the season where there was these last 10-minute leaks that were coming up because that was an hour deadline before.
Oh, my God.
I literally had about 12 screenshots, depending on, and Liverpool had either won the league or were out of the league and were heavily expected to rest. And yeah, it's a nightmare. So I'm not envious of your position, but I think the Richarlison one is a really important one.
That's really important. I mean, I think that changes the order so drastically of like Spurs priorities. I mean, I think that legitimately makes on like a top two or three pick in the game.
Correct.
That makes Richarlison like 100% not in my wild card and makes Matto very interesting. And yeah. Mm.
So, I mean, in terms of team, in terms of wild card, so now we know that Man City and Liverpool are blanking in 29, but okay, let's say you free hit, but they also play each other next week and Man City also play Arsenal in game week 30. So how are you thinking about the Man City picks? I mean, are you going... Haaland-less, Foden-less, De Bruyne-less?
I'm lost at sea. You know, I don't really know. I mean, I think in the end, I'll be logical. And I just like to play around with different stuff while I have the opportunity. I think I will go Haaland. I'm not sure on a defender. I think that like every time I've gone for a Man City defender in the last like 3 years, maybe it's always been bad. So I don't want to forget about that. Foden is tough. I mean, Foden will probably make the team, but Foden's a great example of the, I'm sitting there, you know, 30 minutes till the deadline. Richarlison's on the bench. Son's starting. Mato's starting. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I really want to just get rid of Foden, put another Spurs player in, which is, again, another player who doesn't blank. And yeah. Then, you know, I could see the ripple effect being like, okay, now I'm up to, you know, let's just say 7 or 8 non-blankers with that double change. Now I'm like, maybe I should just squeeze in a couple bad defenders and just get 10 guys and just, you know, be fine. So City are really tough. I mean, Liverpool, you know, Walsh is very down on their defense. I think the defense is still pretty fine. You know, once the first teamers are out there and, it, you know, like today's midfield was ridiculous. And
I mean, those Southampton big chances in the first half.
Oh my God. They should have been up 3-0, honestly. Yeah. It was just silly, silly time. I think it was LR, right, who had his article about like when the big teams play each other, it's not that big a deal anymore. I mean, I think it's a little bit different with City Arsenal, because we've seen that fixture now like 4 times with Arteta or something, and it's just really awful, to be honest. Yep. I mean, KG is generous, I think. It's just like a bad, probably 1-0 either way, except for the one time when City just destroyed them. But Liverpool City, like, I don't care about that for owning attackers. Like, if Mo's fit, he'll be in my team. Holland probably will be in my team. I don't think that fixture affects my, you know, if I'm not free hitting, I don't think it affects my team. And Mo's another one though, right? Like we could just get a leak that he's not in the squad. All of a sudden I have a 13 million pound hole in my team and I have the opportunity to be like, I guess I'll just throw another Spurs mid or throw in Bowen just because he doesn't blank, whatever. They have good fixtures. I think Bournemouth are also, like, obviously they're not on the level of City, Arsenal, and Liverpool, but Bournemouth, you know, I mean, we don't know Dom's fitness, but then we also don't really know if any of their other picks are picks. And I mean, want them to be.
You obviously have Neto as your keeper, right? One of the keepers?
One of my keepers right now has been Neto. And I want a third player because they have Burnley, Sheffield United, and Luton in succession, and it just doesn't get better than that. But I don't know who to go, and I don't know if, you know, you could get Tavernier or Semenyo, and they could literally start all 3 games and blank all 3 games, and that would just be very unsurprising. So there's all kinds of nightmares going on with my wildcard team. I haven't had really that much tinker time today, but it was, a part of it was also just kind of waiting to do this pod with you, waiting to talk about kind of how everything has shaken out. Yeah.
No, I like it. I think one of the free hit advantages of 29, which we didn't talk about, is you can go harder on Bournemouth. I think people who will be avoiding free hit in 29, they'll have no choice but to go harder on Luton, which is not the better double.
Yeah.
So in your case, you can just, you know, bin Luton, maybe just have 1 or 0 and actually go proper, you know, double or triple Bournemouth, and actually their fixtures around 29 are really, really good. So that's one team where actually it could be worth the free hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if I am free hitting, I think triple Bournemouth is, I should really go for it. Whether the third guy is like Senesi or Kirkes, or I want to punt on Tavernier, or I want to riskier would be like miss out on one of the good forwards and go Semenyo or something like that, or Clivert or Sinister. You know, there's a bunch of like maybe guys in there. And again, like I could, if we're talking bench boost again, like Lunar, obviously awful, even though they're kind of fun and everyone's kind of rooting for them a little bit. But like, and their double's bad. It's 2 away games. They're probably going to lose both. But if I wanted to bench boost, I mean, it's pretty easy and affordable to just get a 2 or 3 Luton players that are bad and just bench boost in 28 and just have, you know, 4 doublers on my bench. It wouldn't really mess up the structure at all, I don't think.
I mean, you'd still need to get rid of those Luton players later because they don't, they're not a team you want to keep late, right?
Right. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about the keeper, right? Kaminsky would definitely be one of the three, I think. But like, let's just say I went Kaminsky, Barkley, and a defender. And Barkley just is my fifth midfielder, like whatever. He's cheap. Probably will never have to deal with him because again, I will have used my bench boost, right? So like he can be red flagged the rest of the season. I hopefully won't have to deal with him. And then yeah, I mean the Luton defender, if it's Doughty or someone cheaper, probably maybe going someone cheaper is actually shrewd because this player will become my fifth defender who I never want to play also. Right. So they're basically red flagged in my mind. So
interesting strategy then. For again, I'm here to confuse you, not to solve anything.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen back to my own podcast. What a horrible feeling.
So you could bench boost in 28 yeah. and not free hit in 29 because you would have your triple Luton.
Triple Luton. Place.
You would have two or three Spurs. You'd have Ollie Watkins.
Ollie.
Maybe a Villa defender. I don't know what your plan is with Tony, but Haaland could become Tony in 29.
Yeah, right.
You're ticking most boxes.
Yeah, I mean, I could just run nine out there. And again, like I think one of the benefits that maybe we also didn't mention about just such a bad blank game week is like, honestly, running seven out there is probably fine. Like, usually that's not fine. But if you have Ollie, Tony, who's probably the best captain, and at least, you know, let's just imagine a world where Sun is by far the best mid of the bunch. You're not going to get killed. I really don't think you're going to get crushed without getting just absurdly unlucky. You know, just like Luton clean and, you know, some other ridiculous clean that just like completely crushes you. Brentford clean and everyone has all those players on their free hit or whatever. I feel like and you're probably just going to dodge a bunch of blankers and lose out on like, you know, 8 points for minutes. And there's not really that many. You're not exposed to that high owned, high dangerous, you know, Haaland 200% EO kind of guy. It won't kill you, I don't think.
Yeah. And coming back to the fact that these are hard to call fixtures, right? So some people may go Bowen home to Villa, but
yeah,
how, you know, Bowen could not do anything. And instead your Reguilon, who you've been carrying since game week 25, he cleans against Burnley. It's just when fixtures are tight and hard to call, it just, you know, says the free hit may not have the same upside. Look, someone's going to score points and it could be that the free hitters actually smash it. But at least on paper, it feels like one where you need to really give it a thought that is there a way I can get through it? You know, I'm planning three hits between now and game week 30 before my wildcard at a minimum. That's if there's no more injuries.
No injuries, yeah.
So that's already 12 points I'm giving to the field from people who will probably free hit. But I'm hoping that my free hit will get more than 12 points
right.
than when I, you know, than when people are navigating game week 34 without one.
Yeah. Yeah. You are actually talking me into it a bit. I mean, I'm just not, I think part of it is FOMO is a very common FPL word at this point. I think everyone feels it all the time, but they're like, it's really fun, I think, to like, cause when you free hit in a bad week like this, and you know this, but our listeners may not know, is it's really fun because you're basically playing a different game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're just like talking yourself into Muniz, and like you're talking yourself into, you know, Niakate and like Elanga, and you're just like, oh my God, you know, I'm seeing everything. And it kind of doesn't matter because you're going to have the obvious good picks, of which there's only like four. So like whatever you do elsewhere, it's just like basically pure luck. Throw it at the dartboard. Hope you just hit with your eyes closed. And missing out on that feels bad, but I guess it's a potential thing where I'm just saving it and I'm going to get my delayed joy later in life when game week 34 well, rolls
be,
around.
There'll be shit players to pick in game week 34.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
You'll have your double Crystal Palace, triple Man United attack. You'll have your double Newcastle
now we're
defense
talking.
Or ESAC or whatever. So yeah, there'll be some bad picks, but I think the thing with the blank game week free hit, and again, you know this, but the listeners may not, but the thing with the blank game week free hit is it will definitely be positive points, right?
Yes. I mean, it's folks safer.
It's much safer because you will have four more players or three more players on average, and the field that hasn't free hitted will be on a -4 minimum.
Yeah.
So that's like three players plus 4 points that you start off with on your free hit. So it's going to be positive. If you look at game week 25 free hit, folks sold Saka, Watkins. They actually ended up negative 15, 20 points on the free hit. So
I didn't know people even did that. That's brutal.
Yeah. So that can happen. And that could happen in game week 34. You know, if people avoid going for a Saka because he's playing Chelsea at home. I don't think I would do that on a free hit. But if they did, you know, there is scope to get burnt on a free hit in a double game week.
Always, always. I think that's a... That's like an FPL staple. It's almost lore at this point, like a single game weaker outscoring a double game weaker. You know, just the classic. Unrelated to blanks, I mean, who are you capping this week? Just talk about your team.
My story. I have PTSD from last year. Game week 9 last season. I don't know if you remember that. It was just after the wild card. It was when Haaland played Man United at home.
Oh, yeah.
And I had just wildcarded and I got Salah home to Brighton, and it was De Zerbi's first game. And I had read all this that De Zerbi is an expansive manager. He's just going to play all out and Salah's going to score a hat trick. So I captained Salah. And that was the week when Haaland scored the hat trick, the two assists.
And two assists,
And two assists. So it was 20 plus points. That was brutal. I just don't want to have that same feeling again. And this, my decision was made before him scoring 5 goals last night.
And Salah braced.
In that game? No. Salah only got one assist.
In the Brighton game.
No. The game week 9, he just got an assist.
Oh, God. I'm looking at the wrong... Oh, I'm looking at this season. Wow. My bad. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, brutal, I had 5-pointer against 23-pointer, whatever Haaland got.
So, Haaland's your answer.
Haaland is my answer.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Where are you with captaincy?
I think Haaland's the best cap. I mean, the 5%er is if I don't own Haaland, then I'll have to get interesting with it. But I think Haaland's the clear best captain. A lot of people are on Saka. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad shout. But the thing is, now we saw what a De Bruyne does to a Haaland, which we didn't get in the double game week. And I just think De Bruyne will start for sure. Now, it could be that De Bruyne doesn't have the same role as last night because there's also Alvarez, there's also Foden, who also take up central positions. It's not just the Haaland and De Bruyne show, which is good for De Bruyne, but actually bad for De Bruyne, but you know, it may or may not be good for Haaland. So we don't know that, but Man United are poor, are just not great without Hoyland. And there are at least 3 goals there for Man City.
You're killing me with this Kev stuff. I mean, he's just like one of the main reasons I'm wildcarding. Because up until 2 days ago, I would have said he's arguably the worst pick in the game. He's 10.5 million.
You did on the board.
Yeah, he's 10.5 million, not nailed, yellow card, not fit. You know, piece of shit, as I eloquently put, I think. And he plays yesterday, gets like 5 assists. I don't even know what the hell happened.
I mean, he did get 90 minutes, so I'd expect managed minutes, right? Because they have then Copenhagen, then they have Liverpool, which are arguably more important games, and they should beat Man United without him. So I'm not saying he won't start. But look, I didn't go for the double for this reason, where I felt he's not going to play 90 minutes. He's not the guy who scores the goals. We have midfielders in the game who score goals.
Yeah.
You know, even the Hwangs and Richarlisons of this world are actual goal scorers.
Yeah.
So Jota, we had an option of, and they were just good picks. And De Bruyne was a fine pick, but I don't think he was the best pick. And he's not one. I mean, even this week, maybe he gets 2 assists. It's not the end of the world. It's 10.5 million.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, man. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else really to cover with the blanks and all that stuff. I think, when do you expect like the 34, 37 doubles to actually, you know, be settled? That's, I guess the FA Cup fixtures need to resolve. And then they need to do, you know, whatever they do, TV schedule and all that stuff. So it's not going to be for what, maybe a month or something?
Yeah. So game week 29 is when the quarterfinals happen, as we know. Then there's an international break. So people go over 2 weeks. So usually they will, during this international break, announce the TV picks for game week 34. And the good thing is, if we know 34, we can solve 37. Because everything that's not on 34, mostly. I mean, there could be a Spurs double-double that happens in 36 and 37.
Yeah.
But we should know by 30 or 31 the whole picture.
Which, yeah, I again, think that happened with Brighton last year, right? It was kind of like, oh, they could have a triple game week, and then later it was just a double-double or something. Yeah,
yeah. So Spurs could get a double-double. We should know by game week 31. Another reason, if people are thinking about wildcarding after the blank, is basically to hold off till game week 31, because by then we should hopefully get everything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you convinced me on the 31 wildcard. If people are getting through 29 and whatever, the 31 wild card looks really good. I mean, like you said, I mean, you're dodging, you know, Liverpool, Brighton, which you kind of want Mo. For
no, I'll have Salah.
Okay, you'll have Mo.
Because I'm going to sell Haaland for Tony. I'll have money to upgrade.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
A midfielder to up to Salah for the dead end of game week 30.
Right. So you're dodging Arsenal at the Etihad, which is correct. A big one. I guess that's really the main reason. And the guys who don't blank in 29, pretty much all have good fixtures in 30.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Spurs, Luton, and Villa Woods.
Yeah, that's a good 1-2 punch right there. That's good enough for me. Nice. All right, man.
Yeah. Good luck with your wildcard. Any other last things that you're thinking about? I mean, are you going to go Palmer, or where are you with like these peripheral picks outside the big teams?
Yeah, I'm curious what you think about Saka, because I do think there's a little bit of like Tinkerman in my head where I think instead of Saka, I could go third Arsenal defender. And if I were to go that route, Palmer would be like almost 100% nailed in my midfield. Mo, as of now, I would say is nailed, but you know, the leak might change that. And then it's probably like double Spurs mid, I think it is where I'm leaning. But you know, if you think not having Saka is just diabolical, then you know, maybe I need to rethink my plans a little bit. But somewhere around there, Palmer's definitely close, I think, like close to being in the team. You need that enabler. With Mo coming back, and you know, with probably most people, I mean, certainly Adam and Baker and Walsh were all saying like Son is the best pick, and I'll probably just listen to them. So all of a sudden, you know, we need enablers. Like, that's a lot of cash.
Correct. I mean, if you're planning Son, Salah, Haaland, then yeah. Saka is tough. And I think it's a little bit of a controversial view, but I think Palmer is more important than Saka for the rest of the season. Because, you know, why? Arsenal, because there's other good picks at Arsenal, like a third defender that nobody else will have.
Right.
But there's no other good pick as such at Chelsea. And Palmer is just a good pick that enables a lot and probably enables Haaland, Saka, and Salah.
Yeah.
That is difficult if it's Saka instead.
Right, and I think there's two more parts to that too, right? There's also no good defender, arguably, right? Like the third Arsenal defender you're getting compared to City defender or Van Dijk or Rabo, it's just you feel so much better saving $1 million and getting the Arsenal defender over the Liverpool guys, and you feel better, more secure for starts, right, over the City guy. And then the other thing that you mentioned is like Palmer's not only the only good Chelsea pick, but unless you really are, you know, Doug Luiz pilled, then he's the only good pick of any attacker below like $7 million.
Correct.
You know, well, you know, some people have Doug Luiz, some people are probably saying Gross, what about Gross? But like, you know, basically it's just Palmer. And so if we need an enabler, he's by far the best. So yeah, I'm kind of with you there.
And last thing for me, I mean, these are things I would think about on a wildcard. Premiums, right? I mean, we've talked about Sun being great and essential. We've talked about Salah being your edge.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Haaland as an important pick, but maybe not for 3-4 weeks, except this week. So I guess a question is, are you even contemplating not jamming these three guys and actually working out a plan where you just have two of these three at various points in the season, and then you keep the other guys like Saka as the glue guys or Palmer as the glue guys, something around that?
Yeah, there's probably something there. I should probably look into that maybe a little bit more. I mean, I really wish that I didn't think Haaland, home and United this week, was the best captaincy. I really wish it was just some kind of bad game. Just give me like an away Chelsea this week or something. And I'd feel so much more comfortable just being like, actually, no, Haaland, I think, is the best for my team. I'll get him back in game week 30 with a free transfer. And like, I just feel so, it'd be so easy to make my team, you know, which is why it's tempting, right? Like, it's this fixture, and then it's away Liverpool, blank, away, and then home Arsenal. And it's like, I'd be so happy not owning him for those three.
I mean, you would end up selling him even if you started with him. Yeah. So I guess the question is, do you go shopping with that money next week? Or do you just say, I'm going to keep it and get him back as soon as these two, three difficult fixtures are finished? Right. So I guess that's the thinking. Because the question is, after 30, would you rather have Sané or Salah or all three of them?
And I think the answer will be all three of them.
Maybe.
I think. Not sure. The other thing that it sort of unlocks if you don't go Haaland is you can maybe go 3-5-2, which is like kind of unheard of right now because everyone's on, you know, Haaland, Ollie, and Dom. And then I don't have to not go Saka, right? Like I fit Saka alongside Palmer, double Spursman, Mo very easily. And so I'm like, you know, other than Haaland, which is just like a funny sentence to even say, other than the by far best pick in the game, who's going to win the golden boot by 10 goals, I feel like I'm actually not at risk of anything else happening. It's just that, again, it's this week that's the killer. Because this week, I mean, he's in the elite teams. I'd imagine he's going to be at least 170% EO or something like that.
Unfortunately, the 5 goals have killed people going Saka. It just is how it is, you know? Like people don't want to see that scenario and they envisage what happens if this was the captaincy and I was not on Haaland captain. Yeah. This is just what it is.
Which has happened to all of us, right? I mean, it happened to you last year with Haaland. It's happened with past caps. It's happened with Mo. People don't cap Mo and against Man United like me.
Yeah.
You know, 5 goal involvements, you know, that kind of stuff. That's why we captain these guys almost every week. They're the best players.
Correct.
Yeah, tough man, tough.
Strikers is going to be a tricky one. So sorry, last one. I know I said last before. Strikers is going to be tricky after 30 because actually Ollie Watkins, even though right now he's the darling, he plays Man City in 31. He plays away to Man City in 31. He plays Arsenal away in game week 33. He plays Chelsea in 35, Brighton away in 36, Liverpool in 37.
Yeah.
You could make a case to say, look, it's goodbye Ollie Watkins in game week 30 or after game week 30.
Yeah. Absolutely. I also, you know, I have a hard time keeping track with this stuff, but I don't know future blanks, future doubles, but I don't know what Villa's situation is going to be.
No more doubles or blanks for them.
No doubles, no blanks. So, you know, it'll be relatively easy. I mean, you can look at game week 34, home Bournemouth, 37, home Liverpool. That may or may not be an okay fixture, but you're going to be comparing him against doublers.
Correct.
And so like, you're almost always going to choose the doubler, in which case it makes his run really bad. The one thing with Villa that is a little bit interesting when we talked about, you know, the team still having motivation, like the, you know, for the 37 bench or 37 free hit, they look like they're going to be fighting for that top 4 spot all season. Like I don't see them pulling away to the extent where they're just like resting all their players like completely on the beach. So
yeah.
He will have that going for him.
I think so. And I think even though Emery has this track record of European football with Sevilla, I think he, at some point, if he smells Champions League spot, the financial difference between winning their Mickey Mouse League, Europe League versus coming fourth is just huge.
Yeah.
At some point, he might just start playing the B team in those cups, even though he's progressing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Oof, man. Okay, yeah, a lot to think about. Like I said, I'm going to have to listen back and really soak it all in. But let's get out of here. Thanks, as always, for coming on. Where can people follow you, keep up with you, you know, hear from you, etc.?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on again. It's been a pleasure. And I'm on Twitter or X as Pras, P-R-A-S _FPL. I obviously podcast with the Wire Boys, Late Riser, and Zofar on a midweek basis. And yeah. I also do a Deadline Dilemma show with Flapjack on Fantasy Football Scout. So you can find me in various places.
He's a busy, busy man. Where have you been if you don't know where Praz does his podcast? I mean, honestly. All right, man. Cheers.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Sports Social Podcast Network.